Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to Questions You Have Answers I Give. This is normally a Steel Wars Patreon exclusive, but as it's episode 72, which is divisible by 3, it is also up on the regular iTunes RSS feed. So if you are on that feed, this is the little discussion podcast, the Q&A podcast I have with the Patreon listeners, supporters, at the $3 and up level. But we'll talk about that later on. And we are going to go through some reactions from you guys from the Mandalorian finale. And this was all in the comments from a certain point of view, namely mine, episode 26 of that, which was my Mandalorian finale instant reaction, because for the non-Patreons, I was so excited by the finale. I just had to record straight away. I thought that was just a perfect 45 or whatever it was minutes of Star Wars. It was delicious. Anyway, so let's go to the comments and we'll hear what you guys have to say. Timothy Dunlap, how you doing, Tim? We've got a live show coming up and you've moved states, so I don't know. Tim's the sort of guy that might just be there anyway. But that's on the 25th of Jan. Tim says, I've absolutely lost my mind over here. This has destroyed me. The fake out at the end of the episode where you think the episode is nearly done. Mando is going off to search for Baby Yoda's home planet. But no, the episode is not done. And then the tip of what looks a vibro blade is cutting its way through the TIE fighter. I exclaim out loud, I knew he wasn't dead. Ha ha ha. There was no fireball. Tim, your neighbors must be very worried about what you're up to in your apartment. But then the blade pokes through and becomes the Darksaber. In that moment, I lost my mind. I yelled, what? What? What is even happening right now? Out loud. And much to the chagrin of my neighbors, no doubt. All right, Tim's way ahead of me on the neighbors thing. But then it just appeared to me in my mind that I'm probably saying all this way louder than Tim did. So it's actually my neighbors that are concerned for me reading out Tim's words. The irony of it all. The irony. To go from the movie to this, what? To go from the movie, maybe you're talking about the Rise of Skywalker, I guess, to this. I honestly believe that Favreau and Filoni have little to no corporate oversight. And this right here is the Star Wars that we want. Nay, the Star Wars that we deserve. I think long-form, low-budget Star Wars is the future. I am most impressed with how many people who have never seen a Star Wars are suddenly fans of this show. I haven't spoken to anyone. I guess I don't know that many people that aren't fans of Star Wars. I know a lot of like casual fans have commented to me that they love it. So that's good. P.S. I wanted to punch those two scout troopers in the throat for hitting a baby. Why? You were my favorite type of trooper. Assholes. I actually love them all. They're my favorite trooper as well, Tim. And these two have not besmirched. They've increased my love of scout troopers, because then IG-11 got to use one of their speeder bikes. So if they weren't scout troopers, we wouldn't have had that scene. So I'm all for it. I am all for it. He also says, PPS, season 2 confirmed for fall 2020 from Favreau's Instagram. Was that the picture where he posted the topless Gamorrean guard? Woof. Man, that is some heat coming in season 2. I don't know about this, the thing about corporate oversight. I just think it's a better way to do it is, you know, you've got Favreau and Filoni as the creators all the way through, and the entire first season was plotted out with also some sweet leads into season 2, namely the Darksaber, the probably better be Boba Fett at the end of the Tatooine episode, and also, you know, Bill Burr's gang surviving. I think we'll be seeing more of those guys in season 2. But and also the way it was plotted out with, you know, people would complain, oh, this is a filler episode. But then it all folded back into itself in the last two episodes where they went and, you know, got Cara Dune and the other, what was the other filler? Oh, the other Tatooine episode, I guess people thought was a filler episode. I don't know about that. Especially if, you know, it, that little hint at the end is Boba Fett. And if it is, especially if they like just hint to it a little bit in season 2 and then it goes on to season 3, it's probably going to drive people wild. But I love the way it's plotted out. And I think having it not really plotted out in the films was a worthwhile experiment, but it didn't work as well as it could have with this sort of toing and froing of the story between directors. You know, people always say that George Lucas didn't have, you know, this set plan, but it was always George Lucas. I don't know if we're staying on topic or talking about what you said, but yeah, I know you're not getting at this, Tim, but I feel like what if something's happening in a company bad and other stuff's happening good, like it's sort of like at a certain point the company as a whole has to take credit for both. And, you know, where people diss, they also may give props. Nuanced. Rowan Strang says, countdown till the Mando uses a lightsaber. Clan of Two, I love it. There is no show without the asset. It is incredible that when we're at Celebration and we're talking about all this Mando stuff and you know, people are pumped about this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The most popular thing in the show no one knew about. And I'm sorry, but Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, is the most popular thing in this show because it's like I hear it as a reference on like late night talk show jokes. And like even in the wrestling, I heard it as a reference not too long ago, Baby Yoda. So it has punched through to the mainstream. So yeah, it's just stunning, I think, that what everyone was talking about during the season was not mentioned in all the lead up and its celebration, and is now such a part of the show. I'd sort of, you know, thought about during the season if, you know, Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, if that was just a season one storyline. But it's like those two together, and, you know, that sort of bonding relationship is like the heart of The Mandalorian, a show that surprisingly, and I know I'm not alone, caught people off guard, has so much heart. Thanks, Rowan. Catherine Neen, my buddy in Melbourne, Australia. In advance, I have to apologize for Catherine's language in this message. I punched the air. I screamed, "Oh, shit!" I gasped. I was on the edge of the couch. Awesome episode. I'm with you, buddy. I was transfixed. I guess I wasn't going into the TV series like super pumped. Like I was a lot more excited, like so much more excited for the film, because you know, traditionally that's what I've been about. But I definitely, what left me more thrilled as a Star Wars fan was the finale, the last two episodes of The Mandalorian, the whole series. So good. Thanks, Catherine. Andrew Jardine. Every episode of season one had me actually smiling at some point on the first watch, just out of excitement. Loved every minute of it. Can't wait for season two. The only nitpick I have on this episode, and it gets an easy pass, but just for fun, is when IG-11 comes to save the day. You're on thin ice, Andrew, with this. This is one of the great moments. He says it's his nursing duty to protect the child, yet storms into an area with a ton of stormtroopers, with Yoju protected only by a bag strapped to his chest, which is also right next to his easily self-activated self-destruct. Ha ha. Well, you can, I don't know, Star Wars explain this by saying that IG-11 knew the only way for Yoju's survival was also the survival of the Mandalorian. So he had to come in and save the Mandalorian as part of his programming to ensure that Yoju is safe and sound. He then adds, that said, I love The Mandalorian, love Star Wars, and may that force be with you. Thank you, Andrew. Aaron Taylor, longtime patron. I love the episode, but I didn't dig the Darksaber. It looks silly in the animated shows, and it looks ridiculous in a live-action setting. It didn't ruin anything for me per se. Just not my cup of tea. Yeah, I'm not a huge animation guy, and I didn't like the Darksaber doesn't have, like, I thought it was super cool, but it doesn't have that sort of emotional resonance for me, like say a green lightsaber. And I did think it looked odd in the animated show, that reverse glow. But then seeing how they did it in the animation kind of duplicated in live action, I then really liked it. I think it's cool that it glows exactly the same. And it sort of doesn't work in both mediums, so it kind of works. But I like that. The anti-glow of it, I do think is, I think it's pretty sick. The black glow. The Darksabering. But thanks, Aaron. Brandon Baker. Hey, Steel. I think this episode does a better balance of good storytelling and respect for lore and larger story than episode 9. And I think that Taika has brought in as an attempt to push Star Wars' boundaries in a way that the original Solo directors were denied. I don't know. I think Taika is far more on paper suited to do Star Wars rather than Lord and Miller, who, you know, like their sort of big hits have been animated sort of stuff. But, you know, like Thor, Ragnarok, that's, that is a ripper movie. Very good. I wasn't too big on the first two Thors. And they had Natalie Portman in them. So I'm pretty amped that it's like him and her, director and star in the next one. Brandon also says, I do have a question, just curious. The Rise of Skywalker was the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. Disney Plus even groups things like the Skywalker saga or the Darth Vader collection. Would you be a fan of other named Star Wars storylines? The closest thing I can think of is if they marketed the next Clone Wars as part of the Adventures of Ahsoka Tano. I don't know. I don't really. I kind of, those, the Disney Plus groups kind of annoy me because they're so banal. Like, they're just like that you're on an airline in flight and you've clicked on the Marvel section or the Disney section. Like, I just wish they'd done, they do a bit more creative and have some, you know, a bit of bonus content that, you know, like I really thought after The Mandalorian, there should have been this little thing about, hey, you know, here's a 5-minute thing with, you know, Andy from Lucasfilm or something saying, hey, you should go check out these episodes of that feature the Darksaber and get these new people that are reignited on Star Wars, like the casual fans that are checking it out on Disney Plus and they haven't seen you know, much in the way of animation, or maybe they watched it and then sort of like, you know, didn't stick with it. To go, hey, you're hyped on this show. This saber's just been revealed. Go watch these episodes of the Clone Wars and you'll find out more about its history. And then you're getting fans to like to deeper dive into the franchise and, you know, they might stick around, spend a bit of cash. And start listening to podcasts like this. So, come on, Disney Plus, help me out. Breed some new listeners. But anything that helps people, you know, get into the fandom is a positive. And also to get them to value their Disney Plus subscription more by using it more. You know, there's, what is there, 6 seasons of The Clone Wars to get through, you guys, so tuck in. So yeah, the naming of them, I don't really care if it's just a Disney Plus like menu thing. I sort of, it doesn't affect me. Do it. But let's have the Klee Glas collection. Come on. It's one movie. Ryan Dassing says, Sadu. Rashad. Really loved season one more ways. Oh, sorry. Really loved season one more than I thought. And that's saying a lot. I think you need a roundtable season two prediction episode. Hey, I'm there for you. I couldn't help but think the Mandalorian's father looked a lot like you when he was running in the flashback scenes. And now I can't unsee it. I'm sorry about that. Do I smell a new shirt idea or what? You do not. You do not, Ryan. Anyway, love the amount of content per usual. Keep up the excellent work and I'll check you later. Ryan Dassing. Thank you, Ryan. And I know there's another question on the last Q&A about the Mandalorian, so I'll get to that. Maria says, I think the Moff may have someone close to him or a family member that wants baby Yoda. Based on his line, the asset means more to me than you'll ever know. Why the Moff wants baby Yoda, or Yoju, if you will, more than you'll ever know? I hope not. I hope I'll know. I hope I'll know next season. The Mandalorian, he doesn't need to find out. Steel, the viewer, he needs to find out next season. That is a very tantalizing line. Like, is baby Yoda, or Yoju, if you will, is his research tied to Palpatine trying to come back? That makes his presence very big picture. Like in the world of, you know, the Mandalorian we thought was going to be a very small story. But if that is sort of part of the Emperor's, the Ghost Emperor's plans, that sort of makes it a very important part of galactic history. But either way, why the Moff does want baby Yoda, or Yoju, if you will, is a very important question that I look forward to having answered. And that's the thing with this series in season one, is there's been questions that people want answered. You know, the name, seeing his face, not so much questions, but it actually, it gave you hints that paid off later on. Like Cara Dune instantly saying that she'll go with the Mandalorian because she finds out it's a Imperial that they're going to take out. And then in the final episode, finding out that she is from Alderaan. Like that just, oh, just, it's such a well, like, thought out, written season that we have. Well, me anyway, I have a lot of faith in that threads that have not been picked up yet, like why the mask can't come off when, you know, previous Mandalorians that we've seen, they do take their masks off. All the Mandalorians, like, they can't wait to get them off, except Boba Fett, except when he was filming the special edition and was Don Beese. And yeah, that moustache, fantastic. But like, I've got faith that that's going to be explained in a very you know, compelling way, because they've paid off so much already. They have my trust. But yeah, finding out what the Moff what's his game with that Yoju is definitely one of the big things of season two. So that concludes the episode. If you are on the Patreon, click the comments of this episode for the next episode's Q&A, which will be back to a Patreon exclusive. And the deck is clear. Whatever you want to talk about throughout all of Star Wars, the podcast, previous episodes, the future, the past, the present, that in 10 minutes time, we'll cover it all if you ask the question. Thanks so much to the patrons for supporting the pod. If you're on the free feed, thanks for considering checking it out. There's a link in the show notes. It's patreon.com/steelwars. And you get a couple of bonus episodes a week. I do Q&As. I do exclusive episodes with King Tom. We do Book Wars, where he tells me what happens in... No, it's Page Wars. It's Page Wars. Sorry, guys. Letting King Dom down on the branding. But he explains to me what happens in recently released books and comics, because I don't have time to read them. So he praises it for me gives it his thumbs up or thumbs down, burn it or turn it, as it will. And it's so much fun. And whether you read it or you're like me and you just want to find out the big things that happen, there's Page Wars. There's Star Wars You by Podcast. That's with me and Hawes going through Star Wars history. And I think we're, the next episode's 1978. So we've got a ways to go. What more episodes coming there? We've got, there's new Sardu up with Rashad and I going to the Rise of Skywalker 4DX cinema. There's new Struthers Wars up with Eric and Danny Radford. Super fun episode talking about Danny's Star Wars fandom and playing some of their favorite clips from previous Steel Wars episodes. There's a Duklin Strikes Back. There's a ton of other stuff up there. And the main thing is you get a couple of bonus episodes a week. And it's $3 a month. Works out pretty well. So check it out if you like. Either way, have a great time in Star Wars fandom. Just live it how you want to live it. There's also a new episode on all feeds, a new interview episode up with Eric Struthers. And it's an awesome, we have plenty of laughs talking all types of Star Wars, new and old. Thank you guys so much. And may that force be with you. Los Angeles Steel Wars returns to the Scum and Villainy Cantina Saturday, the 25th of January, for our 1 month after the Rise of Skywalker live podcast. Our 1 month after the Last Jedi podcast was a huge sold out Star Wars discussion, and this one should be no different. So get your tickets at steelwars.com and we'll see you at the Scum and Villainy Cantina in Hollywood on Saturday the 25th at 4 p.m. Click the link in those show notes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.